Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. Brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Faith Debate is an open and honest forum for our local faith community leaders to come in and arm wrestle over the things I want them to arm wrestle over. So I like to just flex my muscle every once in a while on the show.
Yes.
Joe DiMaso, pastor at Frederick's Seventh-day Adventist Church, is back on the panel this week as we're going to continue on last week's discussion about dietary laws in the Bible. And Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel, is on. And let me start with a pretty generic kind of a question, and then we'll be off and running with where we were last week, I'm sure, on the show. If I eat meat, let's be more specific, if I eat pork, am I sinning? Jonathan, I think I know your answer.
Are you sinning?
But eat pork, am I in sin? Is it a sin to eat pork?
I don't know if I can answer that question.
Wow. No.
It is, if you eat pork, it is clearly in violation of the Old Testament law. However, in the New Testament, we're not under the Old Testament law. And so I would argue that that it is not a sin, something to which that we should feel guilty about.
I'm thinking that Joe might give me a different answer. Maybe not.
He's taking notes.
Actually, when you think about it, the only Bible that Jesus had was the Old Testament.
And except that he kind of is the Word. He was the Bible.
And it is.
It's the only Bible he had, and he quoted from it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the records of the gospel, his 3.5-year ministry on this earth, of course, teaching truth, principles of heaven, divine things. And so we have to make no particular separation. In 2 Timothy, it says in 3:16, all scripture is inspired, and it's profitable for things. It's profitable, God says, the whole scripture, it's all profitable. For instruction, you know, and righteousness and correction and all of this and doctrine. So it's true that there is the Old Testament, there's the New Testament, but it's still God's holy word. And the New Testament is not going to challenge the old, nor the old challenge the new. But there's a place for each and yet a continuity that we have to just allow it to continue.
What's the famous passage on this issue, Paul?
Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law.
Yeah.
Galatians 3, verses 25. I feel like this discussion about our relationship to the law is key to all of this, because if we meditate on the law and we are led by the Spirit, he says that the Spirit will guide us into all wisdom, do we find ourselves following the letter of the law, or do we find ourselves following the spirit of the law, which would be health, meaning which we might actually find ourselves not necessarily following the letter in terms of, you know, no pork and none of this and none of that, but instead would find ourselves pursuing health, you know, in general. You know what I'm saying? Yes. The question is what is our relationship to the law? Clearly, we have been set free from the law. We're no longer under the supervision of the law. You know, it says that the law, we know that the law is good if one uses it properly, but it's not for the righteous, it's for the unrighteous. And we have been made righteous in Christ by the blood of Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the law is made for, you know, the unholy and irreligious, but that's not us. And so my point is that there's a little bit of a distinction here in the way that the Adventist approaches the law that leads in a direction to argue for the law's continued application today that is just different enough from where I approach the law, and I think most Orthodox Christians, that I think is part of the reason why we find ourselves in different places on this.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You said we're free from the law.
We're no longer under its supervision, is the phrase.
Yeah, and you added to that. But the thing is,
Galatians 5:18 says, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Yeah. The law cannot be done away with anymore. If we destroy the law or put it aside, then there's no more.
Do you have 2 Corinthians on your computer?
No, Bible doesn't have that.
Can you quickly go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3? Because I think that talks about how it actually uses the word done away with.
Isn't 3.
That
that's the ceremonial law. That's not the moral law. That has nothing to do with the moral
law. It says
it was nailed to the cross.
It has says we're not like Moses who would put a veil over his face. Is that the passage to keep the Israelites?
Yeah. Yeah, keep reading. Like, what was it? You're on verse 5, 6, 7.
For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. 5:14. Their minds were made dull. To this day, the same veil remains. When the old covenant is read, it has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. So it doesn't actually say we're free from the law, but it does say that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And it's clearly referring to that in the context of the law and the way that they approached the law previously being what was not freedom.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point, Jonathan. It's talking against those who are exalting the law above the Messiah, the Savior, salvation. It is not.
And righteousness.
It is not talking against the law. It's talking against their use of the law. They're clubbing the law. That's all they could see. They had so many laws that God, Christ, was getting a hold of that all the way through.
Okay.
And it's interesting also that we have to be very careful as we read the Bible in regard to the law, because there are 4, 5, 6 different laws that the Bible is talking about. There's the health laws. There's the moral.
Yeah, but how do you know in the New Testament when it's referring to the health law or the moral laws?
Well, it's easy to find that out.
It is?
Yeah, the health law is in both Testaments. The ceremonial law is all in the Old Testament, and that's what was...
And where's your foundation for arguing that? Does it say somewhere does it somewhere in the New Testament specifically delineate that the ceremonial law is done away with, the health law is not done away with?
Oh, yes.
Where?
Well, right offhand, I would like to take time out and have a whole study about that, get out a few texts, but we don't have the time right now. But the thing
I don't think there's a passage that says that. Well, I think there are passages that if you interpret them a certain way, you might be able to start moving in the direction of that kind of interpretation. But I mean, that's pretty central to your whole argument.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm practically following the Old Testament health laws right now.
Yeah.
But in terms of our approach to the Old Testament law, this is pretty central. You think you might have found it here?
You take the ceremonial law in Ephesians. It's called the law contained in ordinances.
Contained in ordinances? Ephesians 3?
Ephesians 2:15. That's talking about the ceremonial law. And if people just reading that and want to apply the moral law to that.
I have never heard that called just the ceremonial law.
Well,
the law of commandments and ordinances.
The only, and then.
So you're saying that in that passage, it's only saying that he abolished in his flesh the ceremonial law, not the moral law or the health law.
Absolutely. Neither one of those.
Yeah, I'm in significant disagreement with you about that. Well, okay, what else?
Let's go to Leviticus 1.
But that same passage is the passage that talks about let no man judge you in in meat or drink or
that's
respect
right.
the holy day. It's this
yeah.
exact same passage.
No. We're in Ephesians 2. It doesn't do, it doesn't get into all that.
But that's the next point.
No, the one that he was just talking about.
In
Colossians.
Colossians 2:14.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Sorry, you were faster than I was. I thought you were Colossians 2:14.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're saying what law is it talking about there?
Well, it tells you right there what law it is. It's very clear. It's written right there, and same in the passage.
Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, having taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, he disarmed the principalities and powers, made
keep going, like one or two more
and
verses.
It goes on, it says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbaths.
And Sabbath is not is ceremonial, or you're saying
that's
the Ten Commandments?
That's the
He's
festival.
Claiming that that's the festival
Sabbath,
not the weekly Sabbath.
Those were the things against, all the ceremonial laws were given specifically to the Jews. And it was all.
So you're saying that we're still under the law, i.e., the Ten Commandments and the health laws.
We're under the moral law of God and God's,
in the health laws.
Yeah, the health laws are still continuing, but the health laws are general laws. They're not great minutia. It's just a general principle of health.
So how come they didn't say that when Paul says, "Look, they're trying to circumcise you"? That's a health law, not a ceremonial law.
No, that was a ceremonial thing.
Well, we're finding out in these days that circumcision does have health consequences.
Hey, the latest medical reports, they're throwing that
No. The latest medical reports is that AIDS is significantly decreases when you're circumcised.
Yeah, with AIDS,
and so
happens.
So it's actually gone the other way. They're proving. And the whole medical community has been turned on its head about specifically circumcision because it's been proven, you know, to have a health consequence now. And so was that a health or a
But it's
the other law?
It was
kind of
thrown
both.
Out anyway at that council that they had, and they were just dealing with the residual. Of
so you're
the
saying that Acts was only dealing with the ceremonial law, Acts 15.
That's correct. They were trying to still impose. Listen, Peter.
They just call it the law of Moses. They don't call it the ceremonial law. They don't call it the health law. They call it the law of Moses.
Yeah. Colossians 2:14 says the handwriting of ordinances. And Corinthians, it says 35:12. It was written by Moses in the book. So that's not the moral law. The moral law was written by the finger of God on stone.
Actually, there's another passage I want to jump, but let me reintroduce real quick. You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. Brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel, and Joe DiMaso, pastor at Frederick Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I didn't have my Bible, so I was able to find a computer and look it up. Shame on me for not bringing my Bible to the show, but I finally found it. And this is what I wanted to was looking for before. This is the ESV translation of the Bible. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Now, if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, clearly talking about the Ten Commandments.
Clearly talking about the Ten
law.
Commandments.
Yes.
Came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end. Will not the ministry of the Spirit have more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more with what is permanent have glory. That's going through to verse 11. Three different times in those four verses, it talks about it coming to an end.
Yes.
And it's talking about the law that was on stone. I think it's a little bit of a stretch for me. I don't feel like, obviously you do, but I don't feel like you're quite proving the case that those laws are referring to the ceremonial laws only.
It would take time to explain.
I know.
Thing, and we can't.
But keep
we're
trying.
We're not doing it. But when we talk about the moral law, the Ten Commandments, for instance, let's turn to the text that says in Exodus 40:20, and this is said in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament, but just that one text, it gives us an idea about the law written by God's own hand, Exodus 40:20. It says it was placed in the ark, right?
Yep, he took the testimony, put it in the ark.
All right. Now you go
to... Which, that's what the passage Troy was just referring to refers to that.
Yes,
and
right.
The passage Troy was referring to was talking about that law passing away.
Yeah, but no, it didn't say that. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 30.
No, I felt like it did say that. But that's
I did,
okay.
Which is why I brought it up. But
yeah, I feel like it says that, but...
What passage was that you read?
That was in Corinthians.
No, let me go back here. Let me see if I can find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and what I started reading was verses 7 through 11.
Yeah, and actually it starts in verse 3 where it says, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered not by us, written not with ink, by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone. So, you know, this whole passage, he's dealing with what was written on the tablets of stone. And he's saying, not that we are sufficient in ourselves. Sufficiency is from God. The letter kills. Spirit gives life. Ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious. But that glory is passing away. If what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. And what remains is the Spirit, not the law that was written on the stones. And so the moral law is passed away, according to that.
Christ supersedes the law. No question about it.
All right, what other passages do you have?
Let's go to Deuteronomy 31.
Okay.
Verse 24 to 26.
Deuteronomy 31, verse 24. Okay. So it was when Moses had completing writing the words of this law in a book, when they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant, saying, take this book of the law, put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you. So what you're saying is that the tablets were put in the ark, the book of the law was put beside the ark. Is that what you're saying?
What the Bible is saying is that Moses' writing, which was the ceremonial laws, was placed on the side outside the ark. The Ten Commandment law, the Bible says, was placed inside the ark.
Okay, but the ceremonial law then would include all the health laws.
It didn't include all the health laws.
The moral law is the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And none of the health laws are, okay, keep going.
There's several categories of laws.
Yep, I'm following you. Okay.
The health laws, so let's not mix one in into the other. The moral law is not dealing with the health laws and vice versa, even though it all comes from the same one. Now, let's take a text, for instance, like this, that Romans, a psalm.
Psalm.
Psalm 11, 111, 7 and 8. And here it says that the law of God stands forever and ever. And here the ceremonial law, it's was nailed to the cross. It ended. It's function.
So the
interesting.
The passage you just quoted, the law lasts forever and ever. Which law... Are you saying or suggesting or do you believe that verse is speaking of the ceremonial law, the health law, the moral law, entire Old Testament?
No, the moral law, the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
That's what it's speaking of. Now, here's another text, Romans 7:12, says the Ten Commandments are holy, they're just, and they're good. You go with the ceremonial law, and it says here that one of the texts, in Hebrews 7:19, the New Testament says it could make nothing perfect. And here the others, holy, just, and good, it's to stand forever and ever. It was not destroyed. It's to be magnified by Christ. It is spiritual. It says there the more...
I feel like I'm learning quite a bit about how the Adventists approach this particular issue, and it's giving me insight as to why they believe what they believe. Though I don't feel like it's convincing.
No, I know.
Nevertheless, you know, so they're claiming that that whenever the Word of God says that the law of God will stand forever, it's referring to the moral law, not the ceremonial law. And whenever it in the New Testament talks about law that has passed away, it's only referring to the ceremonial law.
Well,
which is a hair split that
but I don't think that,
that I personally don't feel like is borne out.
Well,
in the language of Scripture.
What do Seventh-day Adventists do with 2 Corinthians chapter 3 then? Because I can't get past that being pretty clearly the moral law.
It talks about
death, you know, the condemnation of death. It talks about being chiseled in stone. It talks about Moses needing to be veiled, his face being veiled after he received that law. It's very clearly talking about the moral law.
Yeah.
And it says three, maybe four times in that passage that it has passed away because it's been superseded by Christ and the Spirit.
It is.
Right? So I don't know how does that fit together?
Paul is saying the same thing the whole Bible and the Old Testament and the New Testament is saying about the law, that it's never been designed to be that most important factor, which is the salvation of Christ, which supersedes
the law. And this is where we agree that salvation is based in Christ, not based in the law.
That the law, there's no way. The law is worth nothing. The moral law, the Ten Commandment law, is worth nothing in saving a person. And so too, and Paul, he's the apostle to the Gentiles, and he's confronting this Jewish tradition and teaching. Even Peter, Christ had to give Peter a vision, you know, and to go to Cornelius' house, who was a Gentile, but he went there, gave him a vision, and he saw a sheet with all kind of animals, unclean and clean. And what did the message say to him? Eat, kill and eat.
Right.
And he says, you know what he said there.
Yeah, he refuses.
He said,
he's sticking to the law.
But what is he? Yeah, and he says, I can't eat this. There's unclean there, and there's all kind of animals.
But he says,
and here God is talking
unclean
to him. God is ordering him to eat it. And he says he can't do it. But then you get him when he goes to Cornelius' house.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he say? That you're not going to eat, that you can eat anything because God showed it to me? He says, no. He says, I have seen now that God is no respecter of persons.
Right, right.
And that the Jews are calling the others unclean, and they're the clean ones.
Yeah.
And there's no respect of persons. And Peter, of all people, was a leader and needed to have this vision. And he's the one that gave the problem then, even in the 15th chapter of Acts, where they're going over it again. Paul had to come in and face the whole thing. And he was demanding. And then even after they settled it, you read further in the book of Acts, here's Peter going out there again where Paul is, and he's compromising. He's saying one thing and doing another.
Right.
And Paul is confronting him face to face right there. So, yes, the law is being, Paul is meeting the law squarely because of these legalists, these law people, and they're the ones, these law people are the ones that finally have to bring Jesus to an end.
I think where I get confused on this whole thing is that our relationship to the law has changed in that we're no longer under the law, but we're now under the Spirit. And that the Spirit has transcended the law, and that in being led by the Spirit, maybe we might meditate on Old Testament law, but we're not under that. You know, we're caught up in the Spirit of the law.
And how I've been taught to think about
that
this.
That distinction is something that I don't hear you say.
As we meditate on the law, it magnifies our sinfulness and our need for a Savior, so it magnifies the work of Christ. But Christ, again, as I've been taught, Christ has perfectly fulfilled the law, not just by his death on the cross, but by his act of obedience in his life. He lived a
sinless, perfect life.
He obeyed the letter of the law.
Yes.
Right. And the Spirit of the law.
Yes.
And therefore was a suitable, perfect sacrifice for our sin. And as a result of that finished work on the cross, Paul can write in Romans 14 that everything is clean. Eat what you want.
because it's been fulfilled in Christ, that there's a change that
so
takes
the law
place.
So the moral law is done away with?
We're no longer bound by the law.
So I can
we
steal.
We are under the law of love.
So we can steal this equipment here?
Love the Lord your God. We are under the law of love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself.
So we can
no,
steal
well, Paul,
others as
Paul
you would
speaks
have
to that
do
too. He
you.
Tells people who said that, oh, well, you know, if grace abounds as I sin, then let's sin more so there can be more grace. And
that's
Paul
right.
says no.
That's right.
So you still should live.
So we come back to this question of what is our relationship to the law? And it's not to the letter. Because
no,
the letter kills,
of course
but it's
not.
To the spirit of the
course.
Law, and the spirit of the law is that you would have life and have it more abundantly. The spirit of the health law is that you would that you would have abundant life. The spirit
the
of
law,
the moral law is that I would love my neighbor as myself. The spirit of the ceremonial law is that I would understand the holiness of God and what Christ has done to bring us into the holiness of God. And so I meditate on the Old Testament law. I meditate on all these things. But in meditating on them, I don't find myself brought to the place where I say, okay, I'm going to absolutely follow, you know, the letter of it, but I'm going to follow the spirit of it.
Yeah, the spirit is no question about it, but that does not throw the law out at all. The law is still standing there. And here in the book of James, it says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all.
Which again brings us back to Christ.
And what law is he talking about? For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit adultery, yet thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law.
Well, we certainly can't do any better than ending the show by having read the Word of God.
Amen. Right.
So,
that's good. Amen.
Same place.
John Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Having me.
Joe DiMaggio, pastor at Frederick Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? For sponsoring the show, I'm Troy Skinner, and you've been listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. God bless.